August 1989, and I'm interviewing Mr. John Burton in his residence in Surrey.
Very good.
Now, John.
Yes, I am.
I'd like to get some biographical details on the tape too. So I'd like to know, first of all, when you were born and how you came to be in the printing business. So we'll go from step one.
Well, I was born in New Westminster in 1912.
And you lived there for how long?
Well, a good part of my life was Westminster.
Mm-hmm. And you went, you grew up there and you went to school there?
Yes, I went to Edmund School, Second Street School in Burnaby, Edmund School.
First of all, you went to Second Street School, or was it known as Edmund School?
Well, Second Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then Edmund School.
And then Edmunds.
And a short time to St. Anne's, well, I guess about a year or two to St. Anne's Convent, and later on St. Louis College. Both of which are now defunct.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they're no longer extant, are they? So how did you do in school?
I would say I was an average student.
An average student?
Not one of the best. Sometimes they came up fairly good and sometimes they're fairly little, but on the average, just about mediocre, I suppose.
And what did you like best when you were in school? What subjects did you like
best?
Well,
usually history and English.
History and English. Well, that's interesting because that... Now, when would you sort of graduate? And what year did you leave school?
1930, from Burnaby South High School. In fact, I went to Connaught High School spent 1 year in Connaught and 2 years in Burnaby South.
So when you graduated, you had to, why did you decide to go into the printing business?
Well, the family owned a newspaper, an Ontario weekly newspaper.
Well, when you say your family, do you mean your mother and father or your grandparents?
It had been my grandfather's.
Your grandfather's. And his name was?
John Foley.
John Foley. So you'd be your maternal grandfather.
Yes.
And whereabouts in Ontario?
The little town of Orangeville.
Orangeville, that's a good Irish name.
Yes. Named after, I'm not sure whether it's Orange or Orange Gel. There were two oranges in the town. And the town was a very strong Orange Lodge town.
Very Orange Lodge, very. I'm sure things must be quite exciting there on the 12th of July. Now, your grandfather owned this printing business.
Yeah.
Do you happen to remember when he established it?
1860. What month, I don't know. Somewhere in my effects, I've got the first copy, but I haven't got it at hand.
Did he, in 1860, was he doing job printing, or did he publish a newspaper?
He did job at that. Well, the small weekly papers all had to do job printing to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm. And he was bringing out a little weekly newspaper as well. And he continued in the family,
yeah.
And then when you graduated from school, you decide that you wanted to go?
My uncle was running it, and I had seen it when I was a boy. I had been in Orangeville quite a long time. In fact, I knew quite a lot about printing then.
Well, when did you sort of start to pick up about printing?
Well, in 1990, after I left high school.
After you left high school. Did you ever go to any of the newspaper offices, or Burnaby and New Westminster?
I used to be in the Columbia and the province office.
Oh, you were.
Not to work, though.
No, not to work, but to see. Now, so what year would this have been when you would be going into the offices?
1930,
yes. 31. Now, it's going to seem like a strange question when there's so many other technical things to ask, but I'm interested in what printers actually wore.
Well,
do you remember, have any clear memories of?
They usually wore ordinary clothes. That's anyone who not a white collar printer like the editor.
Yes.
The editors often really wearing other clothes, but they usually just wore an ordinary. They wore an ordinary suit, and if the editor had to do some printing, as he usually did, he might put a printer's apron on and take off his coat, maybe leave his vest on. He And he was like Tom Sawyer. His Sunday suit was his other suit. Read Tom Sawyer?
I haven't read Tom Sawyer for a long time. But of course, that was written by Mark Twain. He was an old newspaper man.
Tom Sawyer, and it was referred to, I think his Sunday suit was referred to as his other suit. So the newspaper man usually had a good suit and his everyday suit.
So even when with the heat, you know, from the linotypes, they wouldn't take off their jackets, or they would?
Oh, yes, they'd often be working in shirts.
They'd take off the jackets and work in the shirts. They'd still have their vest on.
Sometimes they'd have a vest. Well, usually at the linotype, they'd often be just down to their shirt sleeves.
Down to their shirt. Did they wear?
And maybe in hot summer, they'd be in their shirt sleeves. Mm-hmm. But when it was not so hot, they'd probably keep a vest on and an apron.
Did they wear sleeve protectors at all?
Sometimes. I can't remember anyone wearing sleeve protectors, but I believe they did.
Well, it's just we want to get the costuming right. So you got you became interested, probably because of the family connection,
yes.
And you went into the newspaper offices. Do you remember meeting any of the people who published the Burnaby newspapers?
Well, I believe I did meet, although I can't remember. I belonged to some aunts.
Mm-hmm.
But
Joseph Simmons and William Cameron Blount.
But I don't. I think if you brought them in here today, they'd be pretty old. But I mean, I wouldn't recognize them.
So you were actually in. You actually went into the office of the Burnaby Post.
Yes, I was in. It's just a little more than a job shop. They had,
oh.
If I can remember right, you see, they had no cylinder press, no linotype.
They didn't have
linotype. They had some type stands for handset type.
Mm-hmm.
They had, and I can't remember what the imposing stone was, whether it was stone or metal. It probably was metal. And they had a Chandler and Price, such as we have in the shop.
The one that's in the big back corner, sort of what I would call a big Latin press.
That's what did the newspaper.
So they ran the Burnaby Post off that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. You don't ever remember meeting Mrs. Hawkshaw, who we think actually owned the Post. So then, because it didn't have a linotype, it was obviously really not doing a great deal of printing.
Well, they did a bit of job printing, towards the last, one of the men, I'm not sure which one, was a member of the British Israel Association.
Of the what, sir?
British Israelites. At least I assume he was, because frequently he'd fill any filler needed for the paper, it'd be some little article from British Israel or some sermon from
something he was interested in.
So whether he was a member or not, I don't know, but the paper was somehow influenced by it.
Yeah. Well, of course, when she first owned the paper, Mrs. Mabel Hawkshaw, she was very, very politically oriented, and she used to try and swing the paper behind whatever candidate she was proposing. But that's interesting that you say that the Burnaby Post wasn't that big, because I thought,
no,
I sort of had this idea in my mind that it may have somewhat resembled the shop that's in Burnaby Village Museum, but obviously not.
Well, in one sense it did, except if you eliminated, if you put a wall down where the flywheel is on the cylinder press.
Yes.
And eliminated the linotype, that's about it.
That's about it. Well, they would have had the desk and the typewriter.
I believe there was a desk. I can't remember a typewriter.
No.
But it probably did have one, of course.
Well, it's just that she always used a typewriter. That's why her...
Yes, I'd take it. If I saw the typewriter, it wouldn't mean anything to me. I'd take it just for granted.
Just take it for granted, but you would be interested in the machinery,
yes.
So you would be interested in the Chandler
price
and the closing stone. They didn't have a smaller platen press, just the
I
big
have no
one.
Recollection of any smaller platen press.
And did they have the same sort of system that we did with an imposing stone?
Well, whether it was a stone or a metal top table, I can't remember.
And of course, they wouldn't have to have so many drawers, because they wouldn't have to have the mattresses for the linotypes. So
well,
just
they probably had
handset type.
Two or three type stands filled with type cases.
Do we have any type stands in that shop?
Well, a type stand is the cabinet that holds the cases.
Oh, that's what a type stand is.
That's what I'm
And then
referring to.
That's what it is. Oh.
Actually,
so they had two or three
cabinet,
of those.
Some of them later ones were
mm-hmm.
were closed in, you see. But the older ones just were like those on the far wall.